in liberating strife. Who more than self? Our country loved. Singing something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Above the fruited plain. Well, now wait a minute. I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed His grace on thee. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
We know it is losing its fire, and some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on, 'cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast today. The insane Bill Gates climate change plan to block out the sun is now official policy of the Biden administration. Remember last year when we told you about Bill Gates' plan to block out the sun in order to cool things down? Remember how insane, even for Bill Gates, that sounded? Well, now it's a multi-million dollar official program of the Biden administration. Quote, on October 13th, the White House announced that it was funding a five-year research plan into one of the most controversial proposals for fighting climate change out there, geoengineering, or the technologies and innovations that can be used to artificially modify the Earth's climate. Can things get any crazier or any stupider than that? Well, as it turns out, they sure can. The Bible says in Psalm 113, verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Amen. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, there is so much end time shenanigans going on that it's hard to know where to start first. But the Bill Gates plan of blocking out the sun seems as good a place as any. Over in Europe, they're still trying to figure out who exploded missiles that killed two people in Poland. We seem to be on the brink of World War III just a couple of days ago, and now some very mixed messaging has been taking place with the United States, Ukraine, and NATO. We're going to talk about that today. In Asia, yesterday, the U.S. Air Force Misawa Air Base in Japan urged its personnel to take shelter after news broke of a ballistic missile being launched off the east coast of North Korea. In San Francisco, they officially launched a guaranteed income program for members of the transgender community. The Biden administration is under scrutiny for seeking immunity for Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman over the murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, even though he had previously vowed to bring him to justice. Everybody knows that bin Salman was the one who gave the order to kill Khashoggi. And Biden, he swore last year that he was going to resolve that. Well, he went to the Middle East not all that long ago, and he bowed and scraped and pleaded for more oil from the Muslims, and no talk at all about resolving who killed journalist Jamal Khashoggi. All this is just the tip of the iceberg, as you shall soon see on this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. Father God, we thank you for waking us up today. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect thing that you give us. We thank you, God, for food on the table, for clothes on our back, for a roof over our head. And we're just grateful today, God. We're grateful to be saved. And we're so glad, Lord, to be serving you on the front lines of the end times. And Father God, we commit this time to you. And we pray this morning, this afternoon, for Annetta, who is still recovering from a stroke back in May. And we're praying for her husband to be saved. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Amanda Mathias is still very sick and needs our prayer. We're praying for marriages. We're praying for Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Bianca and Derek, and Stacy and her husband to have their marriage restored and for him to be saved. Karen Robinson is grateful for prayers for her father who had a stroke a few weeks ago and is paralyzed on the right side of his body. Dale Parks needs prayer for healing from bladder cancer. Elena Blackburn She's expecting, and we're praying that she'll be able to give birth to a healthy baby. We are praying for Lorianne as she continues to make progress on the purchase of a new home. And please keep that in your prayers, that the Lord would work that whole thing out. If you've ever tried to buy a home, it's very complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. So please keep Lorianne and her new home in your prayers. Kathy Kelly would like prayers for her sister-in-law, Donya. Donya has cirrhosis of the liver, and Kathy's husband, Dennis, may be called upon to donate a portion of his liver. And Stacy Bunton, prayers for possible breast cancer and prayers for her husband's salvation. Shauna is asking prayer for discernment and God's blessing on her and her sister moving to Florida. Hopefully that's St. Augustine. Jeanette's cousin Andrew just had a stroke and needs prayer. Jeanette would like prayer for a situation that she herself is going through. Rob Beatty, I saw on his Facebook page yesterday, he had had colon cancer a number of years ago, and it looks like it has come back, and we are lifting our brother Rob Beatty up in prayer over that God would give him a complete healing and give the doctors much wisdom. Dina Kruger, Lifeboat VM, she has bronchitis, and she was going to come to Nights of Lights with her husband and their kids. And she texted me this morning, very sad that she can't make it. But an upper respiratory illness has turned into bronchitis. So we're lifting up Dina Kruger today. Ashley needs prayer. She is pregnant and addicted to meth, and we're praying for her to get saved, and we're praying for her to recover from that addiction. Lulu says, good morning, everybody. Sorry I can't stay. Navy girl and family are here, but please pray for my friend and her son who have COVID and are both very ill. Thank you. Amen. Francis says, prayers for marriage. My wife is saved, but more interested in the world. Needless to say, we have different agendas. You can absolutely be saved and absolutely be in love with the world. You got to fight the conviction of the Holy Spirit to do it, but it can actually happen. CJ says, please pray for Teddy, a four-year-old with a tumor in his brainstem, not doing well. Also, a friend's niece overdosed on fentanyl and is in a coma, not sure that she will make it. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning, this afternoon. We just pray, Lord, for all these prayer requests and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, that you would work and move, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, all we can do is just cry, Abba, Father, and just say, Lord, please do it. Please take control. Please take over. That's really the only, sometimes that's the only prayer that we have. But it's everything. It's complete and total power, Lord, when we put it in your hands and say, thy will be done. And we do that with all these prayer requests and requests for healing and restoration and reconciliation and salvation. We ask you to work and move, Lord, in a mighty way. Father God, we pray for this weekend with Nights of Lights and the people who are coming here to go street preaching. And Lord, we just ask you to set a hedge of protection about everybody who's traveling here to St. Augustine, to the bookstore, and for the preaching that we'll do and the handing out of tracts and the ministry that we'll do. Lord, just set a hedge of protection about us, guide our way, and Lord, we just commit it all into your hands. And Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for a full house in the chat room. And we thank you for everything that you do with this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before we get into today's topic, Heath has a birthday. Let's all just take a quick moment and wish our brother Heath a very happy birthday.
It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home.
Amen. Happy birthday, Brother Heath. Does anybody remember monkeypox? You remember it wasn't all that long ago, just a couple of months ago, actually, that monkeypox was the new pandemic, and people were lining up in San Francisco and New York City, and everybody was terrified about monkeypox. Whatever happened to monkeypox?
For President Biden, the surprise of this first trip to Asia is not the work to build diplomatic alliances and economic ties, not the visit to thank U.S. troops.
First of all, I want to say thank you.
The unexpected is that another health threat, growing cases of monkeypox, demands his attention.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
And so I'm hoping in 5 years I can write a book called, you know, We Are Ready for the Next Pandemic. But it'll take tens of billions in R&D that the U.S. and the U.K. will be part of that. It'll take probably about $1 billion a year for a pandemic task force at the WHO level, which is doing the surveillance and actually doing what I call germ games, where you practice. You say, okay, what if a bioterrorist brought smallpox to 10 airports, you know?
We go where we want to, do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless. There's always something new.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. People say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
Is there something to worry about with medicines? That is, might some of them have side effects? Do we need safety testing? I mean, and we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Oh. Anytime or anywhere, just look over your shoulder. Guess who'll be standing there?
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing. Put anybody down.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
I mean, we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
And the time to act is now.
Well, I just thought I would do a little bit of a review of some of the events that have taken place over the last year. And that's just a little mashup remix of some of the greatest hits that we brought to you over the last 12 months. And just like monkeypox, things come and things go and things just disappear and nobody ever explains it. Nobody ever says this is why we're not talking about monkeypox. This is why this story suddenly disappeared. You remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago when Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, called the police because somebody had broken into their gated, fortified community and broken into their gated and fortified house. And when the police got there, the story was that a homeless gay man wielding a hammer that the police found in his underwear had attacked Paul Pelosi for no reason at all. Now, you would think that the newspapers, which is where reporters and journalists are supposed to be, you would think that some of those people would have at least a little bit of curiosity about the real reason why that man was in Paul Pelosi's house. But they have no curiosity at all. They feel no need to investigate that in any way, shape, or form. The story's conflicted, the story's changed, and everything just got a little crazy. And now, 2 weeks later, Nancy Pelosi is stepping down. Do you think that those events have anything to do with each other? I would say that those events have everything to do with each other. But the point of why we're talking about that today, we're talking about end time shenanigans. We're talking about things that don't make any sense, things that just come and go, things that just disappear, and nobody ever talks about them. Well, last year we brought you a story, and this is going to be our lead-off story today. We brought you a story about Bill Gates, and he had this crazy, crazy, crazy plan. And when I say it's crazy even for Bill Gates. What he wants to do is he wants to send up chalk bombs, and he wants to put millions of tons of chalk dust into the stratosphere in an attempt to dim the sun and cool the earth. Now, you would think, and rightly so, that that is just unbelievable nuttiness. And we wrote about that on March 23rd of 2021. And it is unbelievable nuttiness. Take a listen to this.
I, who made billions out of creating super clunky corporate software, what you didn't realize is that Bill Gates doesn't think of himself that way. Bill Gates doesn't think of himself as some guy who got super rich making bad software. Bill Gates thinks of himself as God, in control of the solar system. And that's why Bill Gates is now backing something called sun-dimming technology that would reflect sunlight out of the Earth's atmosphere, causing global cooling. Ooh, that's not fraught with risks. You thought gain-of-function research on pathogens was dangerous. Try that. But that doesn't stop Harvard University. Its scientists are testing that technology by spewing calcium carbonate dust into the atmosphere.
Bill Gates is backing the first high-altitude experiment of one radical climate change solution, creating a massive chemical cloud that could cool the Earth. It's called solar geoengineering, and it's highly controversial. It would look something like this. Thousands of planes would fly very high and use nozzles to inject millions of tons of light-reflecting particles into the stratosphere. It would create a thin chemical cloud of those particles around the whole planet, blocking some sunlight from reaching the surface. It would mimic a giant volcanic eruption, which we know cools the Earth.
Now, just to restate, Bill Gates is not God. Bill Gates is some kind of weird, socially awkward rich guy who lives in Seattle. He doesn't own the planet, but he's now changing the planet single-handedly. This is not just over his yard in Seattle. This is over your yard and our oceans and the whole planet. Now, according to Forbes, Frank Kutch, who is the project's top investigator, quote, does not know what the results might bring. Just experiment with the globe and find out what happens. It's cool, though. He's a billionaire. Michael Schellenberger is the author of Apocalypse Never, Why Environmental Alarmism Hurts Us All, which it does, as our rivers and oceans get dirtier and no one notices. Michael, it's great to see you tonight.
Thanks for having me, Tucker.
It's a little alarming to think that someone as myopic and out of touch and totally ideological and weird as Bill Gates thinks he's in charge of the planet. What should we be worried about here?
I mean, basically everything. I mean, when I first heard about this over two decades ago, this was a thought experiment. But this is real. They're really trying to do this. They've encountered opposition every step of the way. I've co-authored articles with the Harvard investigator. We've told him personally this is a terrible idea. The vast majority of scientists disagree with this. You have to remember, what they're proposing to do is identical to what we feared would occur after nuclear war in the 1980s, which is nuclear winter. The idea is that you cool the planet deliberately The effects on crops are completely unknown. They call this an experiment, but they know that there is no way to figure out what the large-scale planetary effects of this kind of thing would be. It's grossly irresponsible. They know for a fact that they will never get international agreement on this. So they're basically trying to socialize the idea, normalize the idea, make us comfortable with an idea that should make us extremely uncomfortable.
So there you have, and that was a clip from last year. Somebody was on Tucker's show, and they were talking about the insanity of sending up hundreds of thousands of airplanes and filled with chalk dust. So you would say, okay, that was a stupid idea. Bill Gates would just, he just got a little crazier than normal. Maybe it was just at the height of the pandemic and everybody was thinking crazy. However, on October 13th, the White House announced that it was funding a five-year research plan into one of the most controversial proposals for fighting climate change, geoengineering. That is technologies and innovations that can be used to artificially modify the Earth's climate. Now, anybody with half a brain knows that man does not possess in any way, shape, or form the ability to modify the climate, to modify the Earth in any way other than detrimentally. That's a word which means negatively. We do not possess the tech. Look, I have a friend of mine who went to San Francisco last month on a vacation to spend a weekend with his daughter. And he came back from that vacation in San Francisco, the district of Nancy Pelosi, the most powerful woman in Washington for the last 20 years. And he told me, he got real serious, his eyes got real big, and he turned to me and said, bro, you have no idea how bad homelessness is in San Francisco. Stepping over bodies, kicking over needles, tent cities every other block. And he described an absolute dystopian style situation in San Francisco. So let me ask you a question. If the United States or any other country, I don't want to just pick on the United States, but if we are unable to solve homelessness, if we are unable to lower the crime rate, how is it possible that we somehow suddenly possess the ability to modify the Earth's climate, to readjust the intensity of the sun? Do you see how stupid that is? That's not just a bad idea. That's an idea created by idiots for idiots. And if you think that you can modify the Earth, if you think that you can modify the stratosphere, if you can change the sun, how about this? Why don't we just fire every nuclear weapon that we have right now into the center of the sun and see what happens? You know what would happen? Every single one of those nuclear weapons would melt before it ever even got close to the sun. So you think that you're going to modify the sun? You're an idiot. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible. But here I am on whitehouse.gov, and I'll just put the link into the chat room. Whitehouse.gov, and you can read that for yourself when you have the time. But it says this: in the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2022, the Biden White House Office of Science and Technology Policy in coordination with relevant federal agencies, was directed by Congress to develop a 5-year scientific assessment of solar and other rapid climate interventions in the context of a near-term climate risk and hazard. The report shall include 1. The definition of goals and relevant areas of scientific research, which means nothing. 2. Capabilities required to model, analyze, observe, and monitor atmospheric composition. That means nothing. 3. Climate impacts and the Earth's radiation budget. Oh, man. What are they going to do? Slap the Earth with a carbon tax? And 4. The coordination of federal research and investments to deliver this assessment to manage near-term climate risk and research in climate intervention. Now, they are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to try to come up with a plan to cool down the sun. Now, from a biblical perspective, because this is a Bible program after all, from a biblical perspective, this really has to do with getting rid of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, turn to Malachi chapter 4. Turn to Malachi chapter 4. You know, the Bible talks about a day where the climate is going to change very rapidly and very dramatically. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. This is 2 Peter 3:10. This is Revelation 20. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the capital S-U-N, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to think about what the sun represents. Have you ever gone to the beach and watched a beautiful sunset? I've watched thousands of them, and I don't remember them all, but I have appreciated every single one of them. And when you watch the sun come up and that light, it's a little bit orange, it's a little bit yellow, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and then the whole sky is filled with the glorious light of the sun, and then it goes directly overhead at noon. Turn to Acts 26. Turn to Acts chapter 26. I'm going to show you that this plan to block out the sun is really an attack. It may be a subconscious attack, but it really is an attack on Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, look at verse 12 and 12 through 15. Acts 26, 12 through 15. The Apostle Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony of the day he met Jesus Christ face to face. Verse 12 says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." The Apostle Paul compared looking at the risen Jesus Christ with a brightness more than that of the noonday sun. And that brightness was so intense that when Saul looked up into that light, he went blind for a season. Because the Bible says that God is the light, that no man can approach thereunto. That is the light of God. And so when they're talking about blocking out the sun, I understand that they may not be consciously aware. 1 Timothy 6:16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who is that talking about? That is talking, look in verse 14. That thou shalt keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when they're talking about dimming the sun, as we get closer to the start of the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble, and just as a side note, there's been a lot of chatter lately about how long is the tribulation period? How much of the tribulation period has already transpired? A book was written about 6 or 7 years ago trying to show that the first 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble has already taken place. And I was watching a video last night where somebody was talking about the 10-year time of tribulation. And suddenly there seems to be a lot of confusion about the length of the time of Jacob's trouble. And so I thought that what we would do on our Wednesday night Bible study is we are going to do a comprehensive time of Jacob's trouble timeline. We're going to look at the 144,000 witnesses. We're going to look at the strong delusion. We're going to look at the two witnesses. We're going to look at the rapture that takes place about halfway through everything. And we are going to lay it all out. So hold your questions till Wednesday. I've been answering some questions in Telegram, and some people have been emailing me. What I thought that we would do this Wednesday night, Lord willing, we are going to do an absolute definitive end times timeline, and we will take your questions, and I will show you, look, how much of the time of Jacob's trouble has already taken place? None. Zero. Not one day, not one minute. And on Wednesday night, that's going to be the topic of our Bible study. And it's a seven-year time period. It is a time period. Turn to Jeremiah 22, and I'll get back to this blocking out the sun thing in just a minute. Such a stupid idea. Jeremiah 22. I want to show you why that Israel goes into the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 22, verses 1 through 5. Thus saith the Lord God, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and speak there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor to the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. And here's the warning. Here's the disclaimer. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. This is why Israel goes into the time of Jacob's trouble. Not 1 minute of that time period has taken place so far. But we will do a complete 90-minute Bible study. And if you're listening and you're one of those people that believe that certain parts of Jacob's trouble has already taken place, we invite you to join us in the chat room and ask whatever question that you have. And in the spirit of brotherly love and compassion, we'll figure this whole thing out together. But I just wanted to take a moment. I just wanted to take a moment and address that situation because a number of people have been talking about it. Getting back to blocking out the sun, it's a really stupid idea. It's dumber than a carbon tax. The idea that you can put a tax on people and businesses and you can somehow lower the temperature of the earth because you have a carbon tax. This is the type of stupidity that liberals come up with. But the reason why we're seeing all these things, you want to know why we're seeing all these things? Let me play this clip for you. This is our buddy Klaus Schwab. He's in Indonesia right now. And take a listen to what Klaus Schwab had to say at the G20 just 3 days ago.
Of course, if you look at all the challenges, we can speak about a multi-crisis, an economic, a political, a social, an ecological, an institutional crisis. But actually, what we have to confront is a deep, systemic, and structural restructuring of our world. And this will take some time. And the world will look differently after we have gone through this transition process. Politically, the driving forces for this political transformation, of course, is the transition into a multipolar world, which has a tendency to make our world much more fragmented. And for these reasons, events like this one, the G20, and so on, are the very important connectors to avoid a too great segmentation.
So there you have Klaus Schwab, and he's telling you, just a couple of days ago, he's telling you that the Great Reset that he's been working on for quite some time, well, it's finally here, and we got to work this thing out. So if you thought that the end of the lockdowns and the end of COVID and the end of forced vaccinations, if you thought that that stuff was going away, it's not going away. And we're going to talk more about that later on in the program today. But I want to continue this theme that we've established on climate change and global warming. Al Gore is considered to be one of the fathers of the modern day climate change movement. But back in 2005, when he released a book called Inconvenient Truth, he made some predictions. They called it global warming back then. But they had to change the title because then all of a sudden the world started getting cooler. It started getting colder. Up in Rochester, just yesterday, they're calling for 4 feet of snow. Up in Madawaska, Maine, they're having huge snow downfalls and blizzards. I mean, it's not even Thanksgiving. And it's obvious that the planet, not really getting hotter, it's really kind of getting colder. But take a listen to what Al Gore said would happen by 2015, which was 7 years ago.
Fora TV. The world is thinking.
It's hard to capture the astonishment that the experts in the science of ice felt when they saw this minimum in 2005, which meant that the amount of ice that had melted, it's been roughly the size of the continental United States minus an area roughly the size of Arizona, nothing against Arizona. But the amount that melted in 2005 was equivalent to an area covering everything east of the Mississippi River in the United States. Then, when the real shock to the scientists came was in 2007, when this happened. And their phrase was, it fell off a cliff. And then the extra amount that melted was this much. Now, this covers the area of ice. It does not cover the volume of the ice, and Bob Correll referred to this. The U.S. Naval Postgraduate School has a team that integrates the U.S. Navy's nuclear submarines that go under the ice cap and satellite measurements that are calibrated to work with it. And based on that, they said actually 2008 had a smaller minimum, probably, than 2007. And these are figures that are fresh. I don't know if they've been, I don't know when they were released, but I just got them yesterday from Dr. Vaclav Maslowski at the Naval Postgraduate School. And this is the volumetric record of the ice. And some of the models suggest to Dr. Maslowski that there is a 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years. Bob used a figure of 2030. And the volumetric analysis leads this Dr. Maslowski to make that projection. We will find out.
So there was Al Gore, and he was predicting bare naked mountains and the ice caps gone and all this stuff. You know what happened in the 15 years since he made those predictions? The polar ice caps have gotten thicker. The ice sheet has increased in the Antarctic. And every prediction that they have made, they're kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, every single prophecy that the Jehovah's Witnesses have made, and if you're a Jehovah's Witness, don't be offended. You know that what I'm saying is true. In their entire 160-year history, the Jehovah's Witnesses have never made a prophecy that has actually come to pass. Not one time, not ever. So you would think naturally, I mean, just think about it. If I suddenly started predicting a whole lot of things and none of those things happened, well, how excited could you get about listening to this program if the stuff that I told you wasn't really actually taking place? You would expect that the listenership and the readership would go down. It wouldn't go up. So how is it possible that groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses have actually increased in membership with a 100% proven failed track record? Well, it's the same thing with the climate change people. How is it possible every prediction that they have made has been a wrong prediction? It has not come true. It has not come to pass. The oceans are not rising. We have pockets of famine. We have pockets of flood. And those things have always existed somewhere in the world at all times. But by and large, what do we see? We see a relatively stable world. That's what we see. We don't see an unstable world. You know, when I was a kid, the big thing was, And this is this goes back a little bit, I'll grant you. one of my favorite TV commercials from the 1970s was the Pepperidge Farm commercial. And it would be a bunch of kids up somewhere in New England, and he would be handing out his Pepperidge Farm cookies, and he'd say, Pepperidge Farm remembers. Well, I can remember. I can have a Milano cookie and go down memory lane. I can remember when the big thing was aerosol cans. And if you're over the age of 45, you absolutely remember that there was a time period where they tried to make you believe that with every aerosol can that you used, that you were increasing the hole in the ozone layer. When's the last time you heard anybody in the liberal media talk to you about the ozone layer? I listen to the news 7 days a week. I don't listen to everything because that's impossible, but I listen to a lot of it. I listen to all the breaking news. I would consider myself to be fairly up to date with what's going on, with what people are talking about. And yet, I don't recall, maybe in 10 years, anybody talking about the ozone layer. But when I was a kid, we were ruining the ozone layer with aerosol spray cans. And in 1977, Time magazine had a cover with the Penguin on the cover, and it said, "How to Survive the Coming Ice Age." And then in 2007, they had a frying pan with an egg saying, "Global Warming." Well, we didn't go into an ice age, and the planet is not melting, and every single one of their predictions has not come true. Can you name for me one single prediction of the climate change people? And maybe we have some secret liberals who are listening to this podcast. If you can think of one single prediction that the climate change people have made that actually came true, why don't you post that in the chat room? Because I don't believe that they have had one single thing that they've gotten right. But what is climate change about? Climate change is a religion. Climate change is a religion. And you have to believe in this religion in the absence of scientific proof and scientific data. You just have to believe that it's happening. You know, both my parents died of stage 4 lung cancer, and both of my parents were hardcore lifelong smokers from about the age of 14 or 15. And the vast majority of people's parents when I was growing up, cigarette smoking was absolutely everywhere. Why were so many people smoking cigarettes? Well, because the science said that it was good for you. Now, people tend to forget. They tell you in 2022, they want you to check your brain at the door, and they tell you that you have to trust the science. Take a listen to this.
You know, if you were to follow a busy doctor as he makes his daily round of calls, you'd find yourself having a mighty busy time keeping up with him. Time out for many men of medicine usually means just long enough to enjoy a cigarette. And because they know what a pleasure it is to smoke a mild, good-tasting cigarette, they're particular about the brand they choose. In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Why not change to Camels for the next 30 days and see what a difference it makes in your smoking enjoyment. See how Camels agree with your throat. See how mild and good-tasting a cigarette can be.
And that's what you get when you trust the science. A couple of days ago, Donald Trump, he threw his hat into the ring. He's running for president in 2024. Take a listen to this.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. So many incredible friends and family here tonight. It's such a beautiful thing. It's some people say, how do you speak before so many people all the time? If when there's love in the room, it's really easy, if you want to know the truth. It really is. You ought to try it sometime. Together, we will be taking on the most corrupt forces and entrenched interests imaginable. Our country is in a horrible state. We're in grave trouble. This is not a task for a politician or a conventional candidate. This is a task for a great movement that embodies the courage, confidence, and the spirit of the American people. This is a movement. This is not for any one individual. This is a job for tens of millions of proud people working together from all across the land and from all walks of life, young and old, black and white, Hispanic and Asian, many of whom we have brought together for the very, very first time. If you look.
So there you have Donald Trump, and he's announcing that he is a candidate for president. And a lot of people are excited about that. Donald Trump was also the president behind Operation Warp Speed. Operation Warp Speed. Donald Trump was also the president that said he was going to use the military to vaccinate the American citizenry. Take a listen to this.
One issue that has come up is once you do have a vaccine, how do you properly distribute it? How do you get it out quickly to
millions? Well, when we have the vaccine, we have the military all lined up, and the military is going to be doing it in a very powerful manner. These are people that don't usually do vaccines. They do soldiers, and they do lots of other things that, frankly, are more difficult. But we have our general, and logistically, he's all set. Tony, do you want to say something about that?
That is correct. As the vaccine rolls out, we'll be getting them distributed. And as you probably have heard, we are going to make sure that we do it in an equitable way, and it's representative of the populations who need it the most. And we have the standard way that we determine that with the ACIP working with the CDC. But Dr. Collins and Dr. Redfield have put together with the National Academy of Medicine a group that will fortify that decision-making process so that we're making sure that we're very fair and equitable in getting the vaccine distributed properly.
And I think I could have Francis say that tremendous progress has been made on the vaccine beyond anything that we would have thought if you go back 6 months. What do you think?
It is just, frankly, quite astounding, Mr. President. I've been at NIH for 27 years and director for 11, and I've seen some amazing things happen. But the way in which the whole research community, public and private, philanthropies, everybody has come together to work on this, not worrying about who gets the credit, trying to figure out how to strip away anything that's going to slow things down. And I think all of us motivated by the fact that this is the most serious.
All right. So there you had Donald Trump back in 2020. And he said, this is shortly before he left office, that he had a plan in place to use the American military to vaccinate American citizens. Huh. Well, then he went on the Candace Owens show And he said this about the COVID vaccine.
But I think the frustration on the Republican side, and this is why I said I want to talk a lot about Republican frustrations, is that we see the corruption, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden.
That's right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
So there you have Donald Trump in 2020. He said that he was going to use the American military to vaccinate Americans. And then he said that if you took the vaccine, that you weren't going to die in the hospital. You know who else said that just a couple of months before Donald Trump said that? Take a listen to this.
But I have a couple questions I want to ask you, because you know the pandemic is a big concern for everyone, really, around the world, but especially around America. New cases are up three times since last month, right? The pandemic is a big concern. Hospitalizations, death, rising. So you said last month that this that the virus is in retreat. Do you still feel that way? Is that still
the virus? Look, it's real simple. We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten a vaccination. It's that basic, that simple. 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them, or thereabouts, are people who hadn't been vaccinated. This is a simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. So it's gigantically important that you act.
So as we know, that was a lie. That was not true. 50% of all COVID deaths were with vaccinated people. And then a couple of weeks ago, I'm not going to play the clip again, but I think you remember me playing that clip from Europe, from a session of the European Parliament, where they asked a Pfizer representative, did they know that the vaccine did not stop the transmission? And they said, yeah, we had no idea about that. We didn't do any testing. And yet, that didn't stop every government in every nation from telling all their people that if you take the vaccine, you're really doing it for your neighbor. And that sounds like a good thing. That sounds like a Christian thing to do. That, well, I'm not worried about me getting sick, so I'll get vaccinated so you won't get sick. But it wasn't true. The vaccine does not stop transmission of the virus. It never did. And it never will. But that did not stop them from constantly hammering that home. So the point that I'm trying to make is that if you're all excited about a Trump presidency, and I was having a conversation with a man the other day, we were talking about this, and I said to him that I have no problem. I'm going to vote for whoever the Republican candidate is. And I'll do that happily. I have no problem voting for the Republican candidate. I voted for Donald Trump twice. But I don't want Trump to be the candidate. I want somebody else to be the candidate because honestly, I don't believe that Trump can win. He didn't win last time. And you might say to me, well, hey, man, what about the stolen election? Well, let me just tell you how I feel about the stolen election. Politics is a dirty business. All politicians have compromised their integrity. You cannot be a politician and not have your integrity compromised. It is not possible. You have to constantly compromise. If you're a Christian, you have to constantly compromise your integrity in order to be a politician. So don't give me any nonsense about the other side wasn't playing fair. The other side never plays fair. The Democrats don't play fair, and the Republicans don't play fair. Both sides are lying, cheating, and stealing, and making backroom deals with each other, and selling their mother for a cup of pottage. So don't tell me that the election was stolen. If you're not smart enough or strong enough or clever enough to overcome what the enemy is coming at you with, if somebody is able to steal an election from you twice, then you deserve to lose it. If you can't come up with a better game plan, then hey, that's just what the game is all about. So if you're a Republican and you're also a born-again Christian, stop with the stolen election stories. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. If the Republicans can't come up with a way to stop the Democrats from stealing the election, then the Democrats deserve to have it. And that's just how I feel. Now, Heath said that no Republican can win because it's rigged. Well, maybe it is, but politics have always been rigged, going all the way back to the time of George Washington. Politics is a dirty business. It is never going to be a clean business. And the Republicans, they have plenty of dirty tricks themselves. So I don't want to hear stolen election. And you know what? I'm not good. Now, just so I don't get a lot of hate mail for what I'm saying, let me also just qualify the statement that I just made. If you have proof of a stolen election, then show me that proof. When Dinesh D'Souza released his documentary film called 2000 Mules, I did an entire podcast devoted to that film, and I played an 8-minute clip from that movie so you could hear what he had to say about election irregularities in the 2020 election. But you've got to have the proof. You just can't be mad because you lost. And if all you are is mad because you lost and you want to blame it on somebody else, that makes you look really, really, really weak. You know, and it's going to sound like a swear word, but I promise you it's not a swear word. You know, when we say that somebody is weak, sometimes we'll call them a pussy and we'll say, oh, don't be such a pussy. Now, that is not a sexual term. That comes from the word pusillanimous, which means showing a lack of courage or determination. You go look up that word pusillanimous. That's a fancy 50 cent word for a coward. And I am so tired of hearing all these people whining and complaining about a stolen election. If you do that, you are, well, I've probably already gone too far. But look, it's just a word. It's an English word. Don't be afraid of that word. But it means somebody who was a coward. And if you lose an election and all you can do is blame unnamed people who stole something that you can't prove, well, you're being pusillanimous, and I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm just so tired of hearing it. Speaking of words that makes people uncomfortable, it's funny. I was watching a debate with Dr. Ruckman and the guy who was on the committee for the NIV Bible. And you can see it on YouTube. I forget the guy's name. But there's a number of debates that you can watch where Ruckman debated people who represented these other Bible versions. And it's always so sad to watch because Doc comes at them with an unbelievable amount of scripture and destroys their case, and they just come back with anecdotes and funny stories and stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with anything, or they'll take you to the Greek or to the Hebrew because they know that you don't speak Greek or Hebrew. But the debate that I was watching a couple days ago where he was debating the NIV guy, and the guy said, well, what about the King James Bible with all those vulgar words? And he said, there's no pastor in America that will stand up in the pulpit and talk about 1 Samuel 25:22. And I heard that, and I'm scratching my head. Is it possible that there's a Bible verse in the King James Bible that is so crude that it can't be spoken from the pulpit? And I had to refresh my memory. I mean, I knew in general the word he was talking about. But 1 Samuel 25:22 says, so and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. Now, what's wrong with that verse? That's where we get that expression from. If you're a pastor, would you be afraid to quote 1 Samuel 25:22 from the pulpit? Well, you would be pusillanimous if you did. That's for sure. You would absolutely be pusillanimous if you did. Because that's a Bible word. We don't have to be afraid of that word. So anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I'm really not looking forward to the clown show that is going to be the 2024 election. I'm really not looking forward to the name calling. Cheryl says, now we can use all these words freely. Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason at all why you can't say, talking about somebody that pisses against the wall. God wrote it. God wrote it. If you think it's crude, why don't you go tell God to erase it from his book? But I'm not going to tell God that. In fact, Revelation 22 says this. Revelation 22, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So, you don't have to be afraid of using those words, but you do have to show sound judgment. That's for sure. You absolutely have to show sound judgment. So we're looking today at all these. It's kind of like a smorgasbord today. That's a Dutch word, a Scandinavian word, which means buffet. We're looking at a smorgasbord today of things that are going on, and it is just a relentless series of lies and half-truths, and I want to compare that and contrast that with an email that I got this morning. I just want to read this email to you. This email came to me this morning from Chaplain Billy Crenshaw in Valley, Alabama. And I want to read to you what Chaplain Crenshaw wrote to me this morning. Let's talk about something that's true and real. Let's talk about something that's good and positive. Chaplain Crenshaw wrote to me this morning and he said, I am a chaplain at two different hospitals owned by East Alabama Health. I serve at the main hospital in Opelika, Alabama, and the other hospital, Lanier Hospital, in Valley, Alabama. Many times we have patients who request a whole Bible and not just the Gideon New Testaments, which we do have. Due to the COVID epidemic, the hospital budget is running a huge deficit, even after the government reimbursements. And Chaplain Crenshaw says to me, is your ministry willing to supply King James Bibles to our hospitals? And he says, our director works very hard at trying to scrounge up supplies for us to use, and this would really be a wonderful surprise for her if you could help out. And I just want to give a 60-second plug to the free Bible program. And I just want to remind everybody what a valuable program that this is. And I don't talk about it every single day, but every single day we get requests for free Bibles. Sometimes it's just a Bible. Sometimes it's boxes of Bibles. Sometimes it's truckloads of Bibles. And look, we're at just past 92,000 Bibles for 2022. 92,000 plus Bibles. We've kind of reached the point where I can't give you an exact number anymore because we have supported and purchased and sent out so many Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions that I don't have a 100% number for it. But it's past 92,000. And we only have another 6 weeks to go. And it's going to be the end of the year. And so I am just, if you believe in the free Bible program, if you believe in Bibles behind bars, remember last week Ron Wooter came up with the phrase, scriptures for soldiers. And now we have these emails about Bibles for hospitals. I want you to pray about supporting the free Bible program. Let me tell you something. The only way that this program works is you guys pray for this program and you guys send in donations. We are 100% dependent on your prayers and your giving. 100%. And if you would have told me that we actually would have a shot at hitting 100,000 Bibles before the end of the year, I would not have believed it. But I believe it now. And 8,000 doesn't sound like that much. But let me tell you something. Sending out 8,000 more Bibles, depending on where they get sent to, that's another $20,000. So I want you guys who believe in this program, we don't accept any advertising. We don't accept any outside funding. Everything that we do is 100% from God's people through this ministry. And it is 100% a walk of faith. So I want you to to pray about donating to the free Bible program. I really want to hit 100,000 Bibles before the end of the year. And we really are on our New Year's Eve program. We are going to launch the fourth quarter Christian Million Bible program. The good news is we're going to start that with about 112,000 Bibles already given out. But the bad news is we are going to have to come up with 800,088. That's wrong. 888,000 more Bibles in 2023. So please pray for this program and please pray about donating. We're going to need about $22,000 to finish the year at 100,000 Bibles. If you believe that that's a good program, if you believe that that's what we should be doing, then please pray for us as we do this. And if God has prospered you, please donate, because that's the only way that we can do it. And I thank you very, very much. But suffice to say, I will be in touch with Chaplain Billy Crenshaw, and Lord willing, we will absolutely meet his Bible needs. But, and this has happened almost every single time, I know that there's people listening right now who work in hospitals, who the Holy Spirit is touching those people right now to go to their hospital chaplain and say, hey, I just know a place that will send Bibles for our hospital. And I know, like, look, I'll be shocked if I don't get two or three emails within the next couple of days from people who heard what I'm saying right now, who work in hospitals, who reach out to their chaplain and are now going to request Bibles. So there it is. That's a plug for the free Bible program. One more thing. I went to a meeting last night with a couple of my fabulous Mudflower people, and I got to spend some time with Sheriff Rob Hardwick. And if you don't live in the South, maybe you don't understand what it means to be the sheriff. But it's basically you're the guy in charge in a certain county. And here in St. John's County, we have Sheriff Rob Hardwick. And I was talking with him at the Chamber of Commerce meeting last night, and I told him about the Bibles Behind Bars program, and his eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. And he absolutely wants us to get Bibles into the jails and prisons in St. John's County. So the need, look, I don't talk about the free Bible program every single day. I don't want to wear you guys out. But the need for free Bibles is so unbelievably large. That's not good English, but there is such a need for free Bibles right now. And I told Sheriff Hardwick that Bibles Behind Bars will be 100% available to put Bibles into every jail and prison in St. John's County. So, look, this thing isn't slowing down. This thing isn't losing steam. We are handing out more Bibles than we ever have. Up to and including my conversation with Sheriff Hardwick last night and with the email from the chaplain in Alabama this morning. The need has never been greater. Please pray and please give. Thank you very much. Knights of Lights. Let me talk about Knights of Lights. We have about 20, 25 people who say that they are coming for Knights of Lights. We are meeting at the bookstore, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday. And we're going to have a time of pizza and prayer. And we're going to have some fellowship at the bookstore. and we've rented some vans. We're going to get on some, well, they call them buses, but I don't want you to think it's like a Greyhound bus. It's just two large vans, and we're going to, because the parking situation is nearly impossible. There's going to be 20,000 people. Amanda is asking, we can come early. You absolutely can. The bookstore opens at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and the bookstore will stay open from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So you guys can come anytime you want to come. You can hang out at the bookstore. Everybody who shows up, I'm going to give everybody 10% off of anything that you want to buy from the bookstore. And you know, because we're going to have our Cyber Monday and Black Friday, Blessed Friday sales next week. So everybody who shows up at the bookstore will get 10% off. You can hang out at the bookstore all day long. And 5 o'clock, we're going to have pizza. We're going to have prayer. And then we're going to get on some buses and go downtown, and we're going to preach and teach the word of God on the street. And I'm looking forward to meeting so many people, Trisha and Amanda, and I'm looking forward to seeing people who came last year. And it's just going to be a really, really good time. Street Preacher Marie is going to be there. Samantha and her husband are going to be there. Jane's going to be there. Linda and her husband Joe are going to be there. Erad is asking, will I take pictures? Absolutely. I'll do a whole article about it just like I did last year. So the next day, on Sunday, we're all going to meet at North City Baptist Church, 15 Bernard Street in downtown St. Augustine, and there's plenty of free parking at the church. We are going to go to that church, North City Baptist Church. There will be no Sunday service here with Now the End Begins, because I will just be way too, my time will be so fractured, I won't be able to focus. No Sunday service for NTEB on Sunday, but we're going to have a nice 2-hour Bible study, Lord willing, Sunday night. Humble One Forever says, do you have to be invited to the street preaching Saturday? You are invited. No formal invitation is necessary. Just come to the bookstore, 5 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. And for the people who aren't welcome, we have police standing by. Just kidding. So 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Saturday. And I'm really looking forward to everybody. And let's just close in prayer. And I know that there was another prayer that I... Carol Jane says, please pray for a friend named Mary. Has a bad cold, not saved. I thought there was a... And we absolutely will. I thought that there was another prayer request, but maybe I just... My mind has a lot of open windows. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. Lord, give everybody traveling mercies. Get everybody here safely. Get everybody home safely. Give us that sweet spirit of Christian love and fellowship. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And give us power, God, to preach and teach your word on the street tomorrow, to get something done for you. And Father God, we just commit this time to you. We thank you for the ministry of Now the End Begins. We thank you for the free Bible program and Bibles Behind Bars. And we thank you, God, for giving us a job to do. We're just so grateful, God. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. And for those of you that are coming for Nights of Lights, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Have safe travels. And everybody else, remember, there is no Sunday service here on Sunday, but we will be having Sunday night Bible study. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Jesus told his disciples of things to come. He would be persecuted, beaten and mauled. The Son of Man would die on the cross, but he wouldn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone. Jesus is coming,
Jesus is coming
to take us home,
to take us home.
By his blood he has bought me,
his blood has bought me,
and his word he has taught me,
his word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone,
and he won't stay gone.
Do you believe that tonight? He's coming back. In the Bible we're told he surely shall come. Like the thief in the night with the trump of God. The King of all kings who paid the cost didn't stay dead. Is coming,
Jesus is coming
to take us home,
to take us home.
By his blood he has bought me,
his blood has bought me,
and his word he has taught me,
his word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone,
and he won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone.
Won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And he won't stay gone.
And he won't stay gone.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming
to take us home.
To take us home.
By his blood he has bought me.
His blood has bought me.
His word he has taught me,
his word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone.